Well, you know, I am proud to be a graduate of the Promise Bible College. And I'll tell you, Pastor Henry's ministry, his life, his teaching has been life-changing for myself and for Jennifer and for our boys. Because, you know, if the parents get affected, the kids get affected, right? So it's trickle-down spirituality, which is what we're so grateful for. But worshiping in this church for the last 7 years, wow, 7 years, has been one of the best experiences of my life. And if you're here in this church, if you've made this church your home, I just want to let you know you made the right choice. Because this place is so good and so full of the Spirit of God, and I am so very grateful. So I'm not going to try to think about it. I'm going to just preach this morning, and I'm going to bring something to you guys today that I'm hoping will change your life. I'm going to give you a four-step program on how to be on the road to greater revelation. So as you know, we have been going through Pastor Henry's latest series called 2020 Vision, and it has been a life-changing series for myself. And see, in this teaching, in this series, he has encouraged us to write down a clear-cut goal. And, you know, it's important to write down goals. Jenny has, since we've been together, I feel like she's always been writing things down of what God wants to happen, or what we want God to do in our lives. And so, actually, I married Jennifer because she wrote a letter to God about the man that she wanted for her life. So Jennifer has always been writing down clear-cut goals. And when Pastor said that, I thought to myself, I want to experience greater revelation in 2020. That's what I want. Greater revelation in my life, greater revelation about God's word and about how he's moving and what he wants to do in all and every situation that we get to experience in this wonderful thing called life, that he's given us breath in our lungs to experience him in a mighty way. An essential thing to understand is that God is not waiting for you to prove your worth before he reveals mysteries to you. See, a lot of times we think he is. He's waiting on us to get our act together. He's waiting on us to do something spiritual. But revelation can't be earned. He's waiting for you to do something very simple. He's waiting for you to call upon him. Seems really simple, doesn't it? That's because it is very, very simple. He's waiting for you to cry out to him. And his word promises in Jeremiah 33, he says that if you call to me, I will answer you. If you call to me, I will answer you. It's not a maybe, it's an I will. It's a cause and effect. If he says it in his word, then he's going to do it in your life. You see, there are parents sitting in this room today that may have been hurt by their children. They may have been disappointed by their children, rejected by their children, maybe even wondering where your child is today. But if your phone began to ring and you saw that it was that child calling in, you would answer that phone just like God. You would pick up that line because you care, because love transcends hurt. It transcends disappointment. It transcends rejection. Love wants peace and unity to abound in every relationship, in every situation. But see, a lot of us aren't experiencing great revelation because we're simply not calling him like we should. Maybe you're not calling him today because you don't feel worthy to call him. Well, without the blood of Jesus Christ, you're not worthy. So there's nothing that you can do in yourself, no effort that you can give to make yourself worthy beyond believing and putting your faith in God's plan for your life, and that's Jesus Christ. By the way, God never told you you can't call him. He's never said, don't call me. You see, you might have hear those words from friends and people and just situations, and you might hear, don't you ever call me again. Those are not the words of God, and they never will be. His line is always open to you. You remember that show on TV called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Remember how you had these limited lifelines where you could actually call somebody and try and get the answer, but there was no guarantee? And a lot of people would call their parents, they'd call their father. You see, Experiencing God, being a child of God, is kind of like that. But guess what? We have unlimited lifelines. And our Father doesn't just answer, He knows all the answers. So if He says, call upon me, that means He's going to fulfill a promise. He's going to answer you. You see, before we can journey down this road of greater revelation this morning, we need to determine in the Word of God what He wants to reveal to us and what He wants to keep from us. Let's check it out. Jeremiah 33, 2 through 3. I just read it, a brief snippet from it just moments ago. It says, this is what the Lord says. He who made the earth. Listen to the validation that's happening in this scripture. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it. The Lord is His name. That's establishing His prominence over this world. The Lord is His name. He says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you. If you call Him, He will answer you and He will tell you unsearchable things. Hallelujah. Who's searching for something you can't find this morning? If you can't find it, then call upon Him, because everything that He has is good for your life. Everything that He has is the answer to what you're looking for. And He has promised in His Word that He will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. That means He wants to inform you. That means He wants to have relationship with you. That means He doesn't want to stop flowing information to you, life-changing information. That's the God we serve, because He's interested in having great, intimate relationship with His children. It gets better. Check this out. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12. Man, I love the Amplified Bible because it's so amped up. It's so good. I mean, you read it, you're like, hot potato, that's good. I love that. Man, where has this Bible been all my life? Love it. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12 says, things which the eye has seen or not seen, and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man. Again, these are unsearchable things. All that God has promised for those who love Him, who hold Him, here's the condition, in affectionate reverence. Oh, do you revere God today? Do you really revere Him? I want you to ask yourself that question, because when you look at society, when you look around you, reverence seems to be something lost. But if you revere Him in reverence, and who obey Him, who are obedient to His word, and who diligently recognize, woo, the benefits that He has bestowed. For God has unveiled them and revealed to them to us through the Holy Spirit. It means, you've heard it said this way, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. We've heard that scripture, but a lot of times that's where people stop. But keep reading, because there's something that God is doing right here through the power of His Spirit to reveal something to you that is life-changing. Hallelujah. Right here in His Word, He says, I've revealed it to you. Jesus paid a heavy price that the Spirit of the living God could come and live in you. And He said, I'm going to use that Spirit to reveal things to you that you did not know. The divine counsels and things far beyond human understanding. That means don't try to put your intelligence in this. It means don't try to wrap your brain around what God is doing. It means wrap your spirit, your renewed, your reborn spirit that God has given you, so that you are capable to see the things that God has for you. This isn't about intellect, people. This is about grabbing a hold of God's Spirit, life-changing power, resurrection power that's going to change everything about your perspectives. God wants you to use the Spirit first, not use your brain first. That Spirit will absolutely renew your mind. So what does God want to reveal to us? Say this with me this morning. Everything. Say it just like I said. Everything. And what does He want to keep from us? Say this morning. Nada. Nothing. He wants to show you everything. You're His child. Wow. I'm telling you, I read this word this morning, and I'm not there yet. I haven't seen all these things that God wants to show me. Sometimes I feel like my days are mundane. I feel like I'm stuck in this rut. But that is only because of me. That's because I'm not calling the amount that he wants me to call him. This phone call that I'm talking about, this response is a constant. You know how when you leave a phone off the hook, well, at least years ago, and after a while it would go, man, I'm dating myself. I am. That's scary. But see, you never hear that on God's line. Don't hang up that phone ever. Just keep in constant communication and call him. So if we're not experiencing greater revelation, then we have to change our approach. We have to do something different, don't we? We have to change something. If we're not seeing what we're talking about this morning, then you have to say, Tim, well, what do we do? You know, when you lift weights, I used to lift weights a lot. It doesn't really appear so, and it doesn't have a lasting effect, apparently. But I had a desire not to be big and bulky, but I had a desire to be lean and cut. That's what I wanted to be, just like Jeb. Jeb's lean and cut. But I wanted to be that way, so I would run a lot, and when I would lift weights, I'd lift lighter weight with a lot of repetition. But if you want to get swole, if you want to get big, if you want to get massive, then you lift bigger weight, heavier weight with lower repetition. You see, there is always a spiritual parallel that comes to with a physical understanding. And God has shown us through spiritual exercise that it's the same. I'm going to show you how to get swole. You ready? See, God is only asking you to carry heaviness to him and then release it, to get rid of it. His low rep one and done program is you bring it to me and I'll take it from you. And he's a promiser and he fulfills his promises. But if you keep picking up the heaviness that you've given to him, you are going to stop the flow of information from God. You see, if you're holding on to burdens that God has asked you to cast on him, you are not obedient and you're not a part of the program that God has put together to make you big spiritually. You see, we carry on way too much weight. I'll tell you, this morning I look out here and I see some heavy laden. I do. But you don't have to be that way. God says to cast those burdens at his feet. You know, you can't pick something fresh up from God if you're holding on to something rotten. That means you're juggling the rotten things that God wants to give you the fresh things. And you're like, and he's saying, drop them. Put it down. Let me give you something that'll give you life and refresh in you. So the first step on the road to greater revelation is to become childlike. You're like, what? That doesn't sound strong at all. That doesn't sound like it. I mean, I know kids, they don't have revelation. Well, I'm not talking about physical little kids. I'm talking about spiritual children. I'm talking about what you've tried to wrap your head around. I want you to just simply be like a child and believe. Not try to figure it out, but to believe it. That's the way we begin. If I said something to Matthew when he was little, last night, I'll tell you this funny story. I took him to the restroom right before he goes to sleep, to deep sleep. I always take him to the restroom in case he has an accident. So I take him in there, and he's asleep. He's walking like this. And I mean, literally sleepwalking. But when he stands up, I said to him last night, Matthew, turn in a circle. And he goes. And I said, Matthew, touch your toes. And he went, and he touched his toes. And I said, okay. And he walked into his room. Now that is an obedient child. I was impressed. We were on a trip many, many years ago. Boys were very young. And we were going up to Mount Zion. Well, we were going to Denver, but we were going through Mount Zion National Park in Utah. If you've never been there, go there. I mean, it's God's country. It is beautiful. It in itself is life-changing. Well, we're sitting on this road waiting for this one-lane pass. So we're traffic going, you know, this way, and we're waiting for traffic to come back toward us. But we couldn't go through this tunnel because it was only a one-lane pass. So we're sitting there in the car, and we've been sitting there for a long time. And as we're sitting there, we started to hear this noise. And it's not like a normal car problem noise. This is like a little trapped bird or rodent noise. And so, I mean, I'm going to do the noise this morning. Hopefully it turns out pretty good. But it was like, me, 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 me. This weird, strange, high-pitched, strange noise. And so we're trying to figure out where this noise is coming from. We're literally, I mean, Jenny and I are strategizing. It has to be a bird that's gotten up in the car. It has to be some, maybe a rodent or something that's trapped in the dashboard. And so we're trying to figure this out. But it was difficult to pinpoint where the noise was. But we knew we had a visitor. We knew we had an unwanted hitchhiker that we had to deal with. So when we got to a point, went down the road a little further, we pulled over the side. We all get out of the car. And now I thought it was coming from the dashboard area. So I get under the dashboard. I mean, I'm in like this tight little spot right by the gas pedal, and I'm putting my ear up against the dash. And I'm waiting patiently for this animal to start making this noise again. And then all of a sudden, Timmy begins to exclaim, "There it is! There it is! There it is!" And I'm under this car, clearly thinking that this thing is coming after me. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm trying to get out from underneath this car. I mean, I'm banging my shins, everything up. And I finally stand up, whole time I'm spinning around, where is this thing? And Timmy goes, "It's right there." And I went, "Right where?" He goes, "There." And I'm like, "Where, Timmy? Where is it?" He goes, "Right there." And I look down. And I saw the smallest ant I have ever seen in my life. And I looked at Timmy perplexed. And I said, "You think that noise that we've been hearing has been coming from that teeny tiny little ant?" And he looked at me like, "Yeah." See, I thought about that story a lot. So many times I've laughed about it, but there's something precious about Timmy's perspective. You see, I was looking for something specific, like a bird or a rodent. But he was looking for something and anything that moved, clearly. He was looking intently from a larger perspective, and I had predetermined in my mind what this thing was, either a rodent or a bird. And I thought I knew where it was coming from, but he hadn't predetermined anything. He saw movement, and as little as it was, he believed it was significant. And when I look back on that, I like Timmy's perspective a lot better than mine. You see, he didn't put any limits on it, big or small. When we're looking for greater revelation, we can't overlook the small things. Because that is something that the Spirit of God is showing you. And one simple realization can create big change in your life. So we get back in the car, still hearing the noise, because it wasn't the ant. And Matthew asks for his sippy cup, because Matthew is really little. And upon lifting the sippy cup, I realized that it was coming from his cup. You see, as we were driving, we were raising in altitude. So his cup was building in pressure. And now it's making this heinous rodent noise. And I'm like, this is the mystery noise. And isn't it funny that the revelation of what we were looking for came at the request of a child? See, a humble, simple, childlike heart is what qualifies you to hear from God. See, I've studied the Word of God. I've listened to teaching from my father, who's here today. I've listened to teaching from Pastor Henry. I have been blessed with profound teaching. And I can tell you the most profound things that I have ever heard seem to be the simple things. The things that I'm overlooking on a daily basis. The aha moments like, what? Really? Wow, how did I miss that my whole life? Because I'm trying to wrap my pea-sized brain around something, and God's saying, you need to wrap that giant spirit I gave you around it. Simple, gentle words from the Holy Spirit have made the biggest impact. It's not about head knowledge. It's about being humble and remaining teachable. Matthew 11:25 says this. At that time, Jesus prayed. He said, "Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever." Right there in the Word. You can't wrap your world mind around what God's wanting to do, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people trying to do it. You've hid these things from those who think they're wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. So that's your first step on the road to great revelation, is to be childlike. Your second step on this road is to meditate on his word. You see, meditating on God's word is not like the world would say to meditate. See, you listen to the world and the way they meditate with all these heretic religions out there and trying to empty themselves, become supergalactic oneness with whatever. With that rodent and bird that was in my car. Okay? And so, it's not about that in God's kingdom. It's about filling your mind with the word of God. See, if you want to push out doubt and unbelief, hurt, depression, negativity, and sadness, if you want to push all that out, then you need the living, refreshing word of God to reveal to you who you really are. You see, a lot of times when we're having these struggles and not being able to meditate is because we have an identity crisis. We don't know just what God has paid the price for us to have. We don't know that he loves us more than he loves anything. He loves us equally to the amount that he loves Jesus. His word unlocks the things that have you bound. How do I get out of this mess? How do I get out of this heartache? How do I get out of this depression? God's word is the answer to every single one of those things. It's the antidote, and his presence, his spirit is the cure. It's beautiful what God has done, what he shared. Listen to this in Zephaniah 3:17. Once again, amplified. The Lord your God is in your midst. Hallelujah to that, right off the bat. A warrior who saves. If you're philandering, who's going to help me? That means you've forgotten that the Lord God is in your midst, and he's a warrior that saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. That means he's not mad at you. That means he's hearing you. You're calling upon him, and he's going to come help you. And he will be quiet in his love, making no mention of your past sins. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. This is the God we serve, people. I'm not mad at you, is what he's saying. I just want to come to your rescue because I'm a warrior that saves. John 15:9 says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. That right there is equality. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Jesus has loved us even as the Father has loved him. And he says to remain in my love. Now he's speaking to the disciples in that moment. But Jesus said to go and make disciples, didn't he? Are you a disciple this morning? If you're a disciple today, then say, he's talking to me. He's telling me to remain in his love. So you've got to get the revelation that God loves you. He holds nothing from you. Loves you like he loves his son, Jesus. And has moved heaven and earth for you to live and not die. The third step is to do the will of the Father. Now this can be a tough one. Because sometimes we just think we know better, don't we? We try to do it our own way, and after a repeated failure, oh my goodness, the word starts to come alive and bounce off the page and go, how long has that been in there? Oh my goodness, how many times did I overlook that in my life? Right there, the answer. This is a morning all about answers. When I was around 15 years old, I went skiing for the first time with my brothers. Now, they had gone several times. And so they had already kind of gotten the feel for it, and they'd already gotten a little better at it. And they're telling me in the car on the way there, now, this is kind of hard. And I went, I'm 15, so cut me some slack here. But I'm 15, I went, well, maybe for you guys. And they're like, well, what do you mean? It's like, well, how do you know that I won't be great? They're like, you've never been. But how do you know I'm not a prodigy? I mean, I could step on those skis and be better than anybody on that mountain. How do you know? I mean, I had watched the Olympics before. I mean, I've seen it. There shouldn't be any problem with doing it. It seemed pretty simple. Well, let me just say the struggle was real. I got on those skis, and I realized that it's not humanly possible to stand up on these things. And I was trying to do all this and figure this all out on my own. I mean, just getting the boots on was a struggle. And then now trying to get your balance while you're clicking into these skis, I'm thinking in my brain, this is impossible, but I'm going to figure it out on my own because I'm not going to eat those words that I spoke in the car on the way here. Pride was welling up. And they were trying to show me, my brothers were trying to show me the fundamentals, but I would not do what they were telling me to do. See, I have a scripture today that I want to give the 15-year-old Timno. Just give me a moment while I correct him. Proverbs 14:6 in the New Living Translation says, "A mocker seeks wisdom and never finds it." Whew. I wasn't finding any knowledge or wisdom that day on how to get my handles on those skis. It says, "A mocker seeks wisdom and never finds it, but knowledge, those who are willing to listen, come easy to those with understanding." You see, I was rejecting understanding. I was rejecting what my brothers were trying to tell me to help me stay upright. Not just on those skis, but also upright in life when you think about what God's word and what his will is for you. So finally, I began to listen to what they said. And once I did, I began to snowplow. Yeah, it's pretty weak, but you know, I was snow plowing. And then, once I got the snow plowing down, my brother showed me, if you put a little weight on this side and kind of push the downhill ski down, you'll turn left. And if you do it on the other side, you'll turn right. Now, I'm gliding over the snow. It was my bed, and now I'm gliding over it. And now, I'm bursting with this understanding. And now I'm able to build on top of this. You see, when I was willing to do what my brothers were willing me to do, the stress of the experience turned into joy. And after much practice and many, many trips to the slope over time, I became a very good skier. I could swish down that mountain, legs real tight together, knee in front of other knee. I was actually also trained a bit by an Olympic aerial skier, so we picked up a lot of good tips from him. And so we became very good. But before I became good, I had to understand. I had to be willing to be taught. And I had to be willing to apply instruction. You see, doing the will of God is applying his commandments to our life. It's a simple application. Honoring his word by walking it out. Doing his will makes us teachable and able to receive revelation. This is good. This is a good word this morning because it's unlocking these simple steps that maybe we have started to come away from. Well, I'm here today to help pull you back on the path, back on this road to greater revelation. Psalms 11:10 in the Amplified again says, "The reverent fear of the Lord is the beginning." I don't know that I see a lot of fear with people anymore, people. Now, we also know in the Word of God it says that perfect love casts out fear. But I'm talking about reverence, not shaky fear. I'm talking about reverential fear. Realizing that this high power, Jehovah God, has authority over me. He created me, your very creator. Just like when your parents say, "I brought you into this world, I'll take you out of this world." You have to, when you reverentially fear God, you come from that perspective. It says the prerequisite, it's the absolute essential, it's the alphabet of wisdom. A good understanding and a teachable heart are possessed by all those who do the will of the Lord. So if you're doing God's will, that means you're teachable. If you're doing God's will, that means you're setting yourself up for great revelation. If you're doing what he's put in place to keep you safe, not to restrict you. I thought my brothers were trying to restrict me, keep me from being the greatest. No, they were laying a foundation so that I could build on top of it. God's will is laying a foundation in your life so that you can spring forth and do things you never thought were possible. The fourth and final step is give what you have been given. To be a giver. See, when you have experienced life-changing testimony, the message is a resurrection story to someone else. Your testimony is a resurrection story to someone else. That's why you should never keep your mouth shut about what God has done in your life. Now, there may be times when you can't exactly say what God has done, but you will see opportunities that the Holy Spirit has put in your path for you to speak life into a situation because you hold the very keys to setting that person free. That's a testimony. You see, when you're encountering someone that's hungry, they're going to pull revelation knowledge from you. Things you didn't even know were in you. And as you begin to just bloom and just gush about Jesus and what he's done in your life, you start to hear yourself saying things, I didn't even know that was down in there. I didn't even know that I remembered that way, that God did that way. And he will use your tongue to paint a picture to someone that they said, that's what I need to hear. That's what I need to grab a hold. That right there, man, where have you been all my life? I'm just a carrier of a life-giving resurrection story that I know that's going to change your life by me simply being obedient and speaking that out. Hallelujah. When you share that personal testimony about God's love, I have experienced so much revelation in my life boasting about God. Honestly, it's probably the moments that I receive greater revelation the most. You see, it's because the word is hidden in your heart. And guess what? I have the Holy Spirit in me. And God said that the Spirit of God will bring remembrance to the words that Jesus has spoken to us. Again, Jesus in John 14:26. He says to his disciples that the Holy Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Let me read that again. Let that sink in. Jesus says to his disciples that the Holy Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that he has told you. That means the Spirit of God is your memory of what's important. He's going to remind you. He's going to wake up that dead and lazy flesh that has forgotten about what God has done for you. And he's going to say, kick you. You remember when God did that for you? And you're like, hallelujah. I'm so glad I remember. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is doing what Jesus said that he will do. We've already established that you guys in this room are disciples of Jesus Christ. And say this morning, he's talking to me. Now, I want to encourage you to do something that maybe you're not accustomed to doing. Maybe you've never done it before. As the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you in a unique way. You see, we're busy bodies. And it's hard for God to get you to sit down, to shut up and listen. And sometimes it's not us being intentional about not wanting to hear from God. It's forgetting that if all we're doing is filling our life with things that take the place of God, we can't hear his voice anymore. Pastor Henry's talked about this, and I think it's wonderful. Matter of fact, recently he said something about how God wakes him up while he's sleeping. And he starts to share things with him, and he said, maybe it's because it's the only moment I'm actually still. And so that challenged me when I heard him say that. And then I read something really beautiful in Songs of Solomon 5:2. I don't have the scripture reference for you today, but listen how beautiful this is. It says, I sleep, but my heart is awake. And I hear the voice of my beloved. God can speak to you when you're unconscious. You'll wake up with revelation, dreams, and visions. It may even be reminded about a dream you didn't even remember right away. I've had dreams where I've been reading the Word of God, putting my fingers on the page, and it moves like water. And I've looked at that water, and I kept brushing across. Is this water? And I started to reach down in, deep in, all the way up to my shoulder. And I had the Spirit of God say to me, it's deeper than that. Those are life-changing dreams. And I believe some things that I would have never heard or seen or listened to because of my daily grind. Pray for the Holy Spirit to come and minister to you while you sleep. Make a conscious decision to do that. You see, because it's in the stillness that we know that He is God. Again, knowing that He is God is a revelation. And as the Word says, if it's in the stillness, then we have to be still in order to know what God really wants to do in our lives. The four steps that we've covered this morning on the road to greater revelation are to be childlike. I'll pull those up if you've got them. To meditate on His Word, to do the will of the Father, and to give what you have been given. If we want greater revelation today, we have to make an effort. That effort has to be to do these things, to reestablish ourselves, to go through the fundamentals. You see, when I was writing down this clear-cut goal, I'm going to be honest with you, I was just expecting God to just give me a download of revelation. I just wanted the easy take. I did. I think that's a lot of times when we write things down, we just want it to just fall in our laps. But the Holy Spirit has been showing me that there's a journey to find these things. There's a path that I need to go down that maybe I veered off to the side a little bit. Maybe I'm not putting one foot in front of the other, the spiritual foot in front of the other, to really make that great discovery. You see, God is omnipresent. Praise God for that. But we're not. Which means He can always be in our presence, but we're not always in His presence. That doesn't even make sense to your faculties. It's like, well, if God is always omnipresent, then I have to be with Him all the time. Well, I've seen it before in restaurants. There are people sitting at tables on cell phones that are not present in the moment. Your life can be like a cell phone to your spiritual walk. You can't miss it and can't have, you have to be present with Him. See, He's bringing remembrance today that you have the mind of Christ. He's bringing remembrance today that you need to set your mind on things above. He's bringing remembrance today to me, even as I teach and preach to you this morning. He's bringing remembrance that I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. These are the things that we must do. See, we have to operate from victory, not for victory. We have to operate. We sing about these things all the time here. You have to realize that you are right now seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ. You should be dispatching from the throne of God, not toward the throne of God. It's like the kid, when my children are in my office, which right now is my bedroom, but that's different. I'm living with my parents right now. Thank God they don't have a basement, and I wouldn't be living in my parents' basement. But that's where I'm living right now. But my kids come into the room. A lot of times I tell them to get out of my room because I can't concentrate. But Matthew will lay right at my feet, and he'll read a book or play his games or do whatever, and he'll sit there quietly. To me, that's a beautiful picture of how we can be laying at the feet of God. And you see, when he goes somewhere, he goes from my feet to the next room. Get that picture in your mind today. That's where you're dispatching from. You're seated right now in Christ. You have the mind of Christ, and you're dispatching from heaven. Hallelujah. We have a message in us that'll bring hope to people, healing, and life-changing power to this world.